All right, Daniel chapter 3. I hope you have your Bible. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I know a lot of you already know it. So I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit and not take up so much time on the whole passage. So let's start with verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was three score cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes and the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." For sake of time, verse 8. "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews." Look at verse 12. "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." In other words, they don't even have to think about it. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Oh my goodness. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then those men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. And the former, the first is like, the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake, listen to this, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. The old boy's got to change his mind, hasn't he? Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. They walked out, in other words. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on. They didn't even smell like smoke. Unlike some Baptist Sunday. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, and Abednego, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made dunghill, because there's no other God that can deliver after this sword. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Amen, amen.
Amen. All right, turn this mic. Just to rehearse real quick, most of you already know the story. In Children's Church, I used to call them Meshach, Meshach, and under the baby go or something. But listen, these three young men, probably teenagers, had been taken captive by the enemy forces of Babylon, as did all the other Israelis that were killed. They chose the smartest, the healthiest, the best looking young men. They were taken to Babylon. They were taught the Babylonian language. They were taught the Babylonian customs. Just like Daniel, they denied the Babylonian diet. They would not eat that junk because it's offered to idols. But they had found favor in the people and the leader of Babylon because God was with them and God had blessed them. And everywhere that they went, God blessed that place. Amen? Y'all remember that? Abraham's family, everywhere they set their foot, God blessed them wherever they lived. And by the way, he still does.
That's right.
By the way, watch out what you say about God's country, Israel. Now, they need to be born again just like me and you. But he chose that nation.
Yes.
And you better leave it alone. But now, I'm trying to hurry. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here they are. Some crooks have decided they didn't like these Jews being a part of the leadership. So they got together and they made a plan. And they thought, well, the king loves people to worship him. So what we'll do, we'll get him to build his own image out there in that plain. And when he builds his own image, we'll tell him, anybody that doesn't worship you when the music plays must not love you. They ought to be dead. Now that's South Carolina translation. Y'all get it? Amen. So we're going to put them out there. And these people knew that these boys wouldn't bow down. And they set them up. That's what they did. You ever notice a lot of people set you up to fail? And they set them up to fail because they knew they were going to be true to God and nothing would come before God himself. And so they built the statue. And it's kind of like modern-day church, you know. They got, let's see what all they got there. They got all kind of musical instruments, you know. And they said when they play these, the flute, the cornet, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you got to fall down and worship that. And that's the way worldly church thinks today, too. Well, to worship something beside the real God. But anyway, that's another sermon. But they wouldn't worship. They wouldn't do it. They knew they wouldn't do it. So when everybody else failed while the music played, these three boys stood. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's lonely to serve the real God. Amen?
Jesus said, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein, and narrow be the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. You said, preacher, that sounds narrow-minded. It is. It is. Amen. We don't claim to be anything else. We're looking for the narrow way. Everybody ain't getting on it. Amen. And these three boys had found the narrow way. And while everybody else jumps on the wide way to hell, they stand. Exactly like the people said they would. And then they go to the king. They say, well, you know, king, everybody loves you, and you're so wonderful, and you're so great, and you're so smart. And watch out for people that talk like that. And but you know what? There's three boys here that doesn't bow to your statue. And he said, bring them to. And whenever they brought him up there, he saw them as traitors because he had rescued them and he had fed them and he had clothed them and he taught them his language and he taught them their customs, and they looked like Babylonians and they sounded like Babylonians, but they were still Jews in their heart. And he looked at like them boys that they were traitors. They'd been put in positions of authority. And he didn't really like what he was doing. People set him up to get mad to get rid of these three. He said, all right, because you won't bow, you'll burn. And go over there and heat up that oven seven times hotter. And they got it so hot that the people that took them to throw them into the oven, those men died. And after a little while, he looks over there and he says, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I thought we threw three in. There's three walking around, but there's another one in there too. And he looks like the Son of God. How do he know what the Son of God looked like? Because he'd never seen anything so glorious. That's how he knew what it looked like. Amen. You'll know him when you see him. Amen. You'll know him when he walks in. I remember the first time I started going to church before I got saved. I went in that place and I was nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory, and I couldn't be still. And they started singing, praising the Lord. I got more nervous, and the choir sang. I got more nervous, and then the preacher got up to preach. And every time I looked up, he was pointing his big old fat finger right at me. I was sixth pew on the left-hand side, and he could be pointing over here, but I felt like he was pointing right at me. Amen. God had done showed up, see. This man knew God. And by the way, you'll know him when you, hey, you get in his presence, you'll know it. The problem with most church members, they've never been in the presence of the real God. Amen. And he said, there's one in there that looks like the Son of God. And he goes over and he says, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come forth. And it says they weren't burnt, they weren't singed, and even their hair wasn't singed. Amen. And said they didn't even smell like smoke. Wouldn't make a Baptist, would it? And they came out, and he said, then he starts bragging on their God. And he tells all the people, Selena, you remember when I used to preach this in Children's Church? And then he tell all the people, we need to honor their God. And go and read the story. It all turned around on the enemy. It always will. If you'll be true, God will be true. He'll turn it around. You just got to wait on him. Amen. Wait on the Lord. Every time somebody says something stupid about you on Facebook, you have a nervous breakdown. And you want to go to the bedroom and cry and lay out of church 2 or 3 weeks because somebody questioned your little religion. Why don't you stand up and say, that's all right. God takes care of me. A year from now, you'll be gone. I'll still be here. Amen. All demons of hell can't do anything without God letting them. Amen. I won't even be burned. While they're in hell suffering torments of eternity, I'll be up in heaven. I won't even smell like smoke. Amen. Now, I said all that to say this. There are some things revealed in that one statement. We shall not bow. You know what it reveals? Number one, it reveals the depth of their possession, their profession of faith. A lot of people say they believe, but when the hard times come, they don't do it. They back off, back down, back up, apologize. They say they believe. Some of you young people, you go to school, you come in here, you say you're a believer, you get down there at school with the Babylonians, you don't say anything. This shows the depth of their profession. And I'm afraid we got too many professors in the church and not a possessor. Amen. We need some possessors, those who have been filled by the Spirit of God, born again. Like a lot, a lot of people, it says in Titus 1:16, it says this: they profess that they know God, but in works, the way they behave, what they do, but in words they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. A lot of people, they talk about Jesus, but they sure don't act like Jesus. They talk about Jesus and they criticize those who do a little something for Him. Amen. Well, I wouldn't sing that if I was Him. You ain't Him. Shut up and sit down. He's the one that's in the fire. Let Him sing. Amen. Well, I wouldn't do that. Well, God, maybe God didn't call you to do that. Be quiet. Quit criticizing everybody else's faith. How about looking at your own every once in a while? Amen. Hey, we'll see where it's at when you get in the fire. We'll see what your profession really means, won't we, Sister Mary? When you get in the fire, and tell Brother Ron we're praying for him. He's in the fire today. Hey, when you get out, the old devil will put you through some fiery trials of your faith. And while you're in the fire, we'll see what you really believe. Amen? As long as it isn't hard, they'll serve, they'll attend church, they'll give faithfully, they'll witness, or they'll even try to raise their family right. But Satan and his crowd knew these three boys meant business. And they do it. Excuse the expression, but come hell or high water, they were going to do it. They were dogmatic. They were steadfast. They were holy. They lived separately. They were bold in their witnessing. They were true in their commitment to Christ. They were true in raising their children right. They were true in behaving right and looking right and keeping their vows to God, and that will always bring persecution. I know Joel Osteen says it's popular to be a Christian, but it's not popular to be a real Christian. Amen. I did say that. Yeah, I said that. I know that TV preacher promises you moon and he gives you rocks. Amen. I tell you what. These folks that love the TV preachers and all that stuff, next time you're in the fire over at the hospital, call him. You won't even get through to him. Amen. These boys wasn't calling on nobody but God Himself. It reveals their righteousness of the dedication of their lives. They had to love God with all their heart to do this. Come on. You know, some people love Jesus on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they love everything else. They had only one master. They wanted to please one God more than anybody else. And they were committed unto the cause. As we should be. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Talked to a guy the other day, been laying out of church. He said, well, Pastor, I'm there in spirit. I said, a spirit ain't never sang a hymn. A spirit ain't never preached a sermon. A spirit ain't never encouraged a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. A spirit never visited the sick. God's looking for your body. Amen. We don't give spiritual offerings. We give real offerings. Amen. We don't have spiritual payments. We got real payments. Amen. And God's got a real work. And these guys were committed unto death. There's a lot of fair weather Christians. There's a lot of fair weather Christians. But let a little trial and tribulation come along. It reveals their definite lessons for us. They had one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and they said, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to Jesus Christ, which is the real Lord. I went out to Iowa to preach, Sioux City, Iowa, for Brother Tony Green when he was out there, and he said, "Brother Ron, I want to show you a mountain that these Catholics own." He took me down to the Catholic Church. They had a statue for everything but the devil. And that's a matter of opinion. But he took me up to a mountain, and on that mountain they charged you to get in, and had a path. They charged you to walk on this path of faith, they called it. And every once in a while they had a little place you could kneel. And then that, since they don't really have hills out there, they made a fake cave out of plastic, fake cave. But that'd be, and you go in and pay to get a calendar, a candle, and you paid a dollar to get it lighted so you could stick it up in front of a statue. I said, I feel sorry for these people. I feel sorry for these people. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Hey, I know He's living because He's way down in my soul. I don't need a statue. I don't even have some crosses hanging around my house. I ain't got no problem with the cross, but at least get Jesus off of it. He's alive and well. He rose from the dead. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for us right now. I feel sorry for people that have the wrong God. I don't hate them. I don't hate Muslims. I want them all to get saved. Amen. I don't hate Hindus. I want them all to come to Jesus Christ. I met a young man at the Sword Lord conference this past week, and he's from India. He's a fourth generation preacher. He's a native in India. I can't say Indian because we've got American Indians in it. But he's a native Indian, and he said, "My family goes back 14 generations of Christian." He said, "Not this stuff where some evangelist comes in and he preaches to 10,000 people, and he says, if you want to be saved, raise your hand, and all 10,000 of them raise their hand. If you want to get saved, pray this prayer," and they say that prayer, and then he declares them Christian. He said, "I'm talking about born again people." He said, "I'm going to go back over there and I'm going to try to evangelize my people, but those people need Jesus. They don't need another God to set on their mantle." And I feel sorry for people who bow their knee to anything other than the one and only Most High God. There are so many people in darkness today. Did you get that picture? Let's don't look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's look at all those other people. Somebody made up, in just a few days, they made up a religion. And they made up a statue to go with it. And they made up another way to worship. We're going to play the music. I ain't got nothing against music, but there's music going on all over this town in buildings that call themselves churches, but they're not worshiping the same Lord I am. And those people were deceived. The majority of those people were deceived. They all bowed itself. Can you get this in your head? All but those three boys. Have you ever went to Walmart and just thought about all these people here? I wonder who's saved. Go down to the ball game on Sunday and look. Don't go down there on Sunday. Come here. I mean, you give a Baptist an inch, he'll take a mile. Don't go down. Don't go to the race, but look at that on TV and think, how many of those people know the real God? I mean, have a relationship with Him. Not know about Him, know Him. The Apostle Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. That day, March 5th, 1978, when I asked Him to save me, He came into me that day. Now, He's come on me many times, but He came in me. And in 1979, when the New York Times says God is dead, scientists and theologians have come to the conclusion, full page, you remember that, you that old, said, don't you... that God is dead. Well, their God might be dead, but mine ain't. Mine ever liveth to make intercession. We've seen that song in children's church. We sing, God's not dead. No, he's still alive. God's not dead. No, he's still alive. God's not dead. No, he's still alive. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my hands. God's not dead. No, he's still alive. And then I'd say, I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my feet. And then we sing, God's not dead. No, he's still alive. He's still alive. And I'd say, and I feel him in my heart. And then we say, God's not dead. No, he's still alive. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my heart. I feel him in my soul. Woo! I feel him all over me. Amen, amen. Don't clap to that. If you clap to that, you're sad. That's all I'm saying. But see, it reveals something about God, though. Look at Daniel chapter 7 real quick. Not only did it reveal their dedication and their love for God, but it revealed something about, I'm sorry, Daniel chapter 3, verse 27. It revealed something about God, not just them, okay? Verse 27, the princes, the captains, the kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was in the hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All of a sudden he believes, amen, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trust in him, and have changed the king's word. Now, the king hadn't told nobody that yet, but in his head, he done changed what he had to say. And yielded their bodies, present your body a living sacrifice, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. And in Hebrews chapter 13, listen faster. Here it goes. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 5 and 6. Are you there yet? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetous, be content with such things you have. For he saith, look, he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You say, well, preacher, we're in America. Things don't happen. Things happen to Christians every day that men do that. We lose jobs. We lose reputations. We lose family. We lose friends. We lose all kind of stuff because I don't care where you're at. The devil does not like bold witnessing and solid standing for the one and only Most High God. I don't care if you're in Africa or the Philippines or South Carolina. By the way, wouldn't hurt to have a few missionaries in South Carolina. Amen? Amen. We need them bad. And it reveals some things for us, okay? Number one, there's one Lord. Every knee shall bow to him. Don't apologize for believing in the only one. Don't back up or apologize or make concessions. There's one Lord. There's one God. You better stand up for him. And if you do, he'll help you. Fella pointed his finger at me one day and he said, you know I could kill you. I said, you can't threaten me with heaven. The worst thing you can do is kill me and I wake up in glory. Help yourself. If God lets you do that, you didn't do that. He did. He's ready for me to come home. He keeps his promises. Look, it reveals that the world, the flesh, and the devil would suffer defeat if God's children would just take a stand for him, his holiness, and his faith, that the devil would suffer defeat. And if we would just sometimes say, listen, I will not bow and lose my family. I will not bow and lose my calling. I will not bow and lose my church. I will not bow and put things out of order that God has set in order. So today is what we'll do. 3:18. Daniel 3:18. Look at it. I'm preaching fast as a Presbyterian. All right, look, 3:18. Look at it. But if not, let it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, once our nation does that, we're going to lose our nation.
Yeah.
We're not a multi-God nation. I know our nation's had problems. I know there's been people that been bad people. But the original founders of this nation founded it on the Word of God. And you said, well, they had some problems. Yeah, don't we all? But God did that. God uses kings, good and bad, to do His will. And God said this, more missionaries have went out of this country than any other country in the whole world. More churches have been started by this country than any other country in the world. More good work, fed more hungry people, clothed more naked people, this country right here. Look, don't let people back you down for your faith. I will not bow to anyone or anything but Christ. I will not surrender my family. I will not bow to peer pressure. I will not bow to worldly pleasures. I will not bow to sin and Satan. I will not bow to current trends or fashions. I will not bow to pressure from lost family members. I will not bow to worldly Christians. I will bow to from my own feelings and desires to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask you this. Look at verse 16 and we'll wrap it up. Look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Some things you don't have to think about. You got to pray about it. You don't have to study it. The Holy Ghost living in you tells you right from wrong. The Word of God guides you in that. You don't have to vote on it. You ain't got to take a poll on it. You don't have to ask mama or daddy or brother or sister, even the pastor. There's some things you know. We will not be careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. That's another song we sing in children's church. He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know my God is able to carry me through. All right, look at this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. He can. Whatever your fire is right now, God can deliver you from that. But, I like that. See, I'm a Baptist. I'm always looking for a way out. But, if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said, we believe God will keep us in the fire. But if He doesn't, hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. You say, preacher, I got this sickness going on right now. And say, well, I believe God can deliver me from this. But if He doesn't, hallelujah anyhow. God's been good to me. God's taken care of me. God's blessed me, undeserving as I am. And look, the worst thing can happen is we die and then we go to heaven. Hallelujah anyhow. That's how they burned them at the stake and they endured that. That's how when they hung them and they endured that. That's how when they threw them to the lions and they endured that. They said, we believe God can deliver us, but if He doesn't, hallelujah anyhow. He's been good to us and He'll still wake us up in glory. Amen. That's enough to make a novice want to preach. Amen. Look, I want to ask you a question. Have you given in to unbelief? The world we live in is not a friend of our belief. Don't listen to the people of this world. They've never experienced the power and the presence of a holy God inside them. Have you given in to unfaithfulness?
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, the best person in this room, still just a stinking human being. We're made out of dirt and dust. And the Bible says God pities us because he knows we're made of dust. And it'll teach you to be unfaithful. This old flesh right here will make you unfaithful to God. Have you given in to worldliness? You young people, look, she just slept last night. Look, sit up. You young people, listen to this. Listen. This world and the styles and the fashion and the fads and all these things going on in the world, they're against me and you. They're against what we believe. They're against what we teach. They want you to look like a buzzard and fly with the eagles, and you can't do it. You girls ought to put some clothes on. You boys ought to pull your britches up, buy your belt, look like a man. Amen. If I had a little boy, God never gave me a little boy. He gave me three beautiful girls. But I tell you what, Brother Fortner, I'd have dressed him like a little preacher every Sunday and took him to church. And wasn't expecting him to turn out to be one. Amen. They are what you raised them to be. Instead, now you send him down here in his little soccer uniform. You want him to be the greatest soccer player in the world. I'd rather he couldn't even play tag football and go to heaven than be the best soccer player and go to hell. Have you given in to family and friends? Jesus told us our own family, after we started following him, would become our enemy. I remember when I first got saved, started going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, vacation Bible school. If they had a meeting to spit off the front porch, I wanted to be there to spit off the front porch. And then people down in Lancaster say he's gone religion crazy. The boy goes to church every time the doors is open. That girl he married done messed him up. I said, you send word back down there to Lancaster. A girl couldn't have done this. God did this. Your family and friends will be your own enemies of your household if you don't watch out. Don't listen. Just go and serve God. He adopted you. Now you're his child. And then last, have you given in to our flesh and our desires? Is this still on? This thing right here has deceived me so many times. So many times. My own flesh, this is my enemy. I have to fight this thing. Every day, I have to crucify this thing right here. I have to kill it every day. You say, preacher, don't say that. That's the truth. This thing was born after the similitude of Adam, and wherefore by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, so then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Where's that baby at? There's a baby in here somewhere. I heard that little sinful cry a while ago. Listen. The Bible says a child left to himself turn out wrong every time. Did you know that little baby? Right? How old's the baby now? Is that all? And it's already lying. Yeah. We're born liars. How much sleep have you been getting in the past 4 or 5 weeks? Not much. Because over in the middle of the night, ain't nothing wrong with that little sinner. And it'll scream and holler, and all it wants is selfish attention. That's all it wants. It ain't hungry, it ain't wet, the rat ain't in the bed with it. It's just sinful, and it lies. And all that baby's life is going to fight that thing right there. If you give in to it, it'll burn you, buddy. I've been burnt by it, have you? Yeah. Amen. And it wants you to worship it. Yeah. Ain't that right? Until you get old like us and you figure out there ain't no hope. Some of you dirty, rotten, sinful men, you walked around here when you was young like this. You could whoop the world. And now you got your chest done fell in your drawer. Watch him, ladies. Watch him. Watch him. When he gets out of the shower, here's what he's going to do. I don't care if he's
If his chest is 19 inches, his drawers is 64. He's going to get in front of that mirror and he's going to go, what a man. What a man. Lying flesh. He's an old dying man. He came in the world wrinkled, bald, and toothless, and he's going out exactly the same way he came in. What are you worried about, ladies? Mac Factor ain't going to help you either. Listen, this flesh will lie to you, and it will burn you. Have you given in to the flesh? Some did this morning. They got up in flesh and said, you're too tired to go to church. Some of them going to do it this week when the boss man says, if you don't go to this party, we're not going to give you a raise. He'll go. Some of these teenagers are going to do it this week. They claim to be Christians till the other crowd comes around. And the flesh says, you ain't no Christian. They say, amen. Now listen. I think if real Christians would stand up to the devil's crowd and stand up for Jesus and say, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I'm not backing down. I'm not backing up. I'm not giving in. I'm not quitting. I'm not compromising. And if you like that, you can walk with me. If you don't, you go somewhere else. I don't need you. I've got the Lord that created all heaven and earth. I'm not bowing. I've been in this too long to quit now. Besides, where are you going to go back to? You're going to go back to the bar? You're going to go back to throwing up every night? You're going to go back to sticking needles in your arm and powder up your nose? Hey, you going to go back to that ungodly crowd that deserted you every time you got in the fire? No, sir. I'll just stay right here. I'll not bow. I ain't backing up. I'm not bending. Because, see, I know the real God. And He walks with me and He talks with me. And did you know what, Sister Mary? He's my friend. Jesus said, I'll call you my friends. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Is he your friend? You say, me and Jesus got a thing going. You don't know him. Me and the old man upstairs, you have no idea. When the God of this universe comes down on your soul and grabs your heart, your mind,
amen.
And he says, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. You say, go ahead, devil, throw the best you got. He's here with me. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your mercy.